Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, Matt here. Welcome back to Primate. So good to have you. Before we get into the show, I just want to let you know I'm doing some stand-up around the place coming up, including a live taping of my show at the Stupid Old Studios on the 29th of July. Love to see you there. You can come along at there's two sessions, 6:30 and 8:30. Come to one, come to both. Up to you. There's a discount code, do go on, all one word. If you want a sweet discount, I'd love to see you there. It would be amazing. I'm also coming to Adelaide on the 15th of July. Tickets available there. Brisbane on the 14th of July. I think it's sold out. Anyway, I don't know why I mention it, but little brag there. And got a Perth one coming soon, so stay tuned on that one at mattstewartcomedy.com. But would love to see you at the taping at Stupid Old Studios. Immortalize the back of your head. Evan Munro Smith, who you know from this show, will shoot the shit out of the back of your head. You just let him know, and he'll get a real close-up on it. And if you laugh, well, that's even better. Evan, is that true?
Look, I don't want to commit.
You're not going to commit to filming someone's back of their head?
I mean, what if half a dozen people are like, shoot the back of my head? Like,
okay, well, that's a good point.
We've got time for that.
Okay, fair enough.
We've got to get through two shows on that.
Well, what if you do? I mean, you do a wide shot and you get all their heads in it.
No, we could do that, yeah.
Fantastic. All right, that's locked in. We got him on tape, everyone. We got him. You all heard it. Grab tickets, mattstewartcomedy.com. Use the discount code, do go on. Now, on with the show. Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from chimpanzee all the way down to chimpanzee. I'm your host, Matt Stewart, and I'm joined, as always, by the official second banana of the show. It's host of the Gim and Game show where you gim, you game, and you gim again. It's Evan Munro Smith. Welcome, Evan.
Hello.
So good to have you back.
Good to be back.
Back in the monkey house. Good to have you here. How do you feel?
Good.
We haven't done a studio-based primates in yonks.
Yeah, because the last one we did was live, which was great. It was a really fun show. What was the one before that? It was Umbrella Academy?
Yeah, I reckon, which we did a lot of those via Zoom. I don't think we did. Did we do any in there?
Maybe we did.
Cass late. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That is true.
And I guess we'll do more when there is a new season coming soon, right?
That's right. Assuming Pogo makes the cut. Although the Ape Man number one is still around.
Yes. There's always an excuse to make it at Primates about it.
And joining us as a special guest in the Monkey House this week from the Book Cheat podcast, from Do Go On, it is the book chook himself, Mr. Dave Warnicki. Welcome, Dave.
A book book. Hello.
So good to have you, Dave.
Great to be here in the Monkey House. Is it a Monkey House? Are we up in a tree? Is it a tree monkey house?
It's a monkey house in your mind. I mean, you're a book chook, you know, the Kurt Vonnegut book, The Monkey House. Where's that?
I don't know.
On a bookshelf, I guess.
Yes.
We could be anywhere.
But not my bookshelf, not sadly. Not yet.
It's a book of short stories, I believe. Welcome to The Monkey House. Hmm. Anyhow.
Maybe we should do a Primates event.
Yeah.
It's book chick crossover.
Dave, you might not know this, so we haven't talked about it in a while, but Evan's favourite primate is the human, in particular Andy from the Toy Story.
Yes, I do remember that, which always makes me uncomfortable.
I'd forgotten about it.
Evan, come on, you hadn't forgotten about it.
Dave, do you have a suggestion for a primate that maybe could trump for this, you know, this really, you know, kind of one-eyed human supporter? Do you have something that could maybe trump even the human for Evan?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to go past the bonobo.
Oh, the bonobo.
They love to bang.
The world's horniest ape.
Yeah, come on. Even hornier than humans.
Yeah, even hornier than Andy from Toy Story, who's famously horny. Yeah, no, bonobos, they bone. I've said this before, probably on the show, that they bone for everything. They bone to commiserate. They bone their way into trouble, but they'll always bone their way back out again.
They live to bone.
Yeah, bone to live.
And I see a lot of myself in them.
Yeah. That's hot.
No, real hot. But so does that tempt you away from humans? I mean,
well, I mean, when I Googled it, I found Bonobo the musician, who's actually a human. So,
okay.
Touché.
Are they a horny musician? Do they make porn music?
More of a trip hop sort of a situation.
Yeah, low energy electro stuff, right? I think I saw Bonobo play at a festival in Austin, Texas.
Wow.
And I didn't, at that point, I was in my pre-ape loving days.
So you weren't even aware.
I didn't even connect it.
That's interesting. Bonobo, the musician, is 45, but the average lifespan of a bonobo in the wild is 40 years.
Wow.
So wow, doing well then.
They're already proving superior.
Yes.
At least in
it's
longevity.
It's that human component.
Yeah. Slap in the face. That 45-year-old ain't banging as much as a bonobo, though.
Yeah. He could live 100 years. He won't bang as much as a 40-year-old bonobo.
I don't know. He is a musician.
That's true.
You know, they get a lot of boning.
They get a lot of boning.
Done.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Evan, okay.
So,
spoken like a true musician, composer of the theme song of this podcast, of course.
That's right.
That's true, yeah. I'm a musician.
So, Evan, is Dave convinced you there with the bonobo?
He's no, thinking about
that. This is close. I don't know if he's been this close before.
No, I have.
He's edging towards a decision here.
Bonobos do not edge. They no. just go and they, go and
they go.
Go
and go. They go and go and blow. This has been a hot start.
Yeah.
No, I think
sexy start.
I think
there's been a lot of tension building up since we last recorded, and it is all coming out right now.
No, humans still have the edge.
Okay.
Who was also a musician.
That's right. Guitarist for U2. As another podcast would say, it doesn't matter. Fuck. So today we are talking about the 1939 production of The Wizard of Oz, because Dave and I on our other podcast, our side project, the Do Go On podcast.
That's right.
We did an episode about The Wizard of Oz, starting back with L. Frank Baum.
Or Baum.
Or Baum. And he was the author of the book.
Oh.
From 1900. We talk about a famous fight he had with his wife about donuts. And we...
What was the fight?
I mean, listen to the episode to hear the story.
It is.
But it is pretty strange.
And it's like one of the only things included in his biography, this very specific incident.
Then we work our way through that, the musical from 1902, and then we talk about the 1939 Hollywood version, not the first film, but the most famous version of it. And it was a nightmare. Real cursed film production. So we talk all about that. We won't go into that stuff today. If you want to hear about those things, check out the Do Go On episode.
But we're talking about the film today, right?
We are talking about
so
the film.
Yes. Maybe listen to this first so you don't have to listen. Because if you listen to that, you listen and go, it's not as fun as...
It's really tinged with sadness.
Yeah, it's really
it?
Yeah, right. Changed my perception of the movie.
The reason we're talking about this film is because of the monkeys. Do you want me to talk about the monkeys first or go through the synopsis of the film? Which way should we do this?
Well, maybe we should just recap the synopsis.
Then talk about how they fit into the story.
When was the last time you reckon you saw it, Evan?
I think the last time I saw this film was last night. I put it on.
Wow.
I was interested in seeing it in 4K. There's a 4K version on Amazon Prime. I didn't properly watch it, but I
that feels about right.
I had it on in the background.
You find an ultra high definition movie to not watch it.
Well, yeah. I looked at it. I saw it as a kid. I didn't love it as a film. I mean, we'll get to it, I guess, but you know, it's all right.
We'll get to it, my pretties. Evan doesn't have anything on in the background that's less than 4K.
Yeah. So. I mean, why bother?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I watched it so much as a kid. Watching it again recently really took me back a lot, although all those old stories have made it all tinged with a bit of sadness for sure.
Mm.
But your grandparents had it on videotape.
They had it on videotape.
And was it
not
in 4K?
Not on 4K. I think it was barely 1K. It was, but yeah, all those memories came flooding back. I felt a bit like a kid again watching it. It was kind of nice, yeah.
Yeah, because it was. I was the same. My grandparents would put it on when we go around to their place, and yeah, there's definitely. It's interesting watching something that I haven't watched for so long, and it had a grand scale. Like watching it back, I'm like, oh, the Yellow Brick Road, like that used to be this like. Really grand thing, and the castle and stuff. It's like, I don't know. Watching it now, I'm like, oh, that seemed so big as a kid.
Yeah, that's right. That scene when they're inside the gates of the Emerald City, and the horse that's color changes, which we learn and do go on, is just colored gelatin rubbed into its hair. But anyway, that I remember that scene seeming epic.
Mm.
But it's like, oh, that's clearly just a soundstage. Not particularly big. Yeah, it's funny to... everything's bigger when you're smaller, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to... I found this website that does a great synopsis of the film. It's a website I don't know if listeners have heard of, or you two even. Big fan of it. Wikipedia.org. Now, it has stuff on nearly everything.
Is it a movie website?
It can be, yeah, in part. But it does everything. It does, like, TV shows as well.
Wow.
Other kinds of media. And even, like, real life things,
too. It's almost like a movie database of sorts.
Well, it's like a movie database plus.
Wow.
That's actually what I would have called it.
On the internet. Database,
movie database plus. .org is what I would have called it, but they went with Wikipedia, which is kind of gibberish, but whatever.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean? Nothing. And that's probably why it'll never take off. But all right, so I'm reading from that Wikipedia plot synopsis here. In sepia-toned Kansas, Dorothy Gale lives with her can terrier Toto on a farm belonging to her Aunt Em and Uncle Henry. Toto bites her neighbor. Toto's the dog.
Yes.
If you remember from the sentence before.
Yes.
Toto bites neighbour Miss Almira Gulch.
She also a dog?
No, that's a human neighbour.
Oh, okay.
Bites Miss Gulch on the leg, leading her to obtain a sheriff's order to have him destroyed, put down.
Mm.
Miss Gulch takes Toto away, but he escapes and returns to Dorothy. She decides to run away to save her dog. Not far from the farm, she runs into Professor Marvel, a fortune teller who uses his crystal ball to make Dorothy believe that Aunt Em is heartbroken, which is a pretty fun trick.
Yeah, Why is he tricking? Why is he tricking her?
He's saying she shouldn't be running. She's a kid. She shouldn't be running away. I'll say, hey, your auntie misses you. She's so sad. She wants you to come home. Basically trying to guilt her into heading home again.
Right.
That's all right.
Yeah. I think that was probably the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Use a crystal ball too.
Yes.
Well, whatever it means. I mean, that he had, you know, it's just what he had available.
That's always my go-to plan, though. I think the right thing to do would be to trick you with a bit of magic.
That's right. Dorothy rushes home as a cyclone approaches. Aunt Em, Uncle Henry, and the farmhands take shelter in the storm cellar and lock it down behind them. Dorothy has to seek shelter in her bedroom. Not as good as the storm shelter, let me tell you that.
Mm.
Where the window is blown in and hits her on the head, knocking her unconscious. The house is sent spinning into the air, and she awakens to see various figures fly by, including Miss Gulch, who transforms into a witch flying on a broomstick.
Mm.
Which is interesting, isn't it? It's like looking back, what's happened there? That's just the moment where her mind starts...
The spinning is her mind. Fairy tale.
Yeah, because we know, I mean, we're spoiling the ending of the film now? Because
either spoil it now or in 10 minutes' time.
Yeah, it's all a dream, right?
Yeah, like a fever dream kind of thing.
Yeah, in the book, the original book, it's a real thing. She actually goes to this magical land.
And there's like a series, so she keeps going back, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But in the film, that her hitting her head, that's her getting knocked out, and everything from there is the is the sort of the fever dream or the coma dream, I guess. So what in her mind, that's her mind starting to go, oh, Miss Gulch, she's pretty mean. She's a witch. Is that kind of the idea, I guess?
Yeah, I suppose so.
The movie, and as a kid, the Wicked Witch scared the shit out of me. Yeah. I had nightmares. I have vivid memories of waking up in the middle of the night. Mom, Dad.
The Wicked Witch.
I keep thinking about the Wicked Witch.
And they're like, well, you're going to keep watching this video every week for the rest of your life.
They also made me smoke cigarettes. You'll smoke every last one in the pack. You'll watch every last witch in this film.
Is it a reference to the production?
Oh, how there's the witch actually catches
no,
fire?
No, is it? No, that didn't, wasn't. Was it Judy?
What? Oh, Judy Garland smoking
Judy
cigarettes.
Garland was smoking, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mention that on Do Go On. I didn't know about that, but I've heard a few people mention that recently. Is that to keep her small or something? What's the idea?
I think they were the film producers and stuff thought she was fat, and so they wouldn't
suppress her appetite. They did.
Yeah, so she's like, you can have soup, you can have like diet pills.
Yeah, they had
cigarettes.
Pills. They gave her sleeping pills and pep pills.
Yeah, right.
Pep pills in the morning, sleeping pills at night. Yeah, so grim. Anyway, the movie shifts to Technicolor as Dorothy's house lands in Munchkin Land in the Land of Oz. Glinda the Good Witch of the North and the Munchkins welcome her as a heroine, as the falling house has killed the Wicked Witch of the East. As the Munchkins celebrate the end of their slavery, the Wicked Witch of the West arrives to claim her sister's ruby slippers. But Glinda transfers them onto Dorothy's feet. Enraged, the witch swears revenge on Dorothy and vanishes. Glinda tells Dorothy to follow the yellow brick road to Emerald City, where she can ask the Wizard of Oz to help her return home. Which is interesting. It's a pretty wild dream for a kid to make up.
Yeah, very creative.
Yeah, but there's a lot going on.
Dreams are weird, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, this all makes sense.
Yeah, get her a pen, get her to write it down.
Whatever makes sense.
She lands in Munchkin Land, kills the witch.
Oh, you know, you're
the
right.
The slippers.
There's some logic there,
she's got to go on a yellow brick road trail.
Okay.
To the Emerald City.
Meet a wizard.
You're not following this logic.
Yeah, so she can go home.
Come on, Evan.
To a horrible life.
This is classic stuff. This is storytelling 101.
The hero's journey, damn it.
On her journey, Dorothy meets a scarecrow who wants a brain, a tin woodman who wants a heart, who seeks a heart. Growing up, always the tin man. I think it's been shortened to that over the years, but in the book it was Tin Woodman, and it's often written as the Tin Woodman.
What is
Woodman? Because he has an axe.
Yeah, he's like a lumberjack.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Why is there a tin
in the book?
Woodman.
He was a human woodman, and he was going to marry a munchkin, but the munchkin's old lady. Or some lady the Munchkin was living with was like, I don't want you to go off with this guy. So she got one of the Wicked Witches to cast a spell on the axe of the Tin Woodman, which made it chop his limbs off, and then this tin guy put him back together. It's a real grim kid's book.
Wow. Yeah, okay. So there's an example of something that was not explained in the film.
No.
And didn't make a whole lot of sense in the film.
Right, yeah, because you're like, you can understand a scarecrow being in the field.
Well, a scarecrow, that kind of makes sense.
A lion being in the jungle. But
yeah.
Why is there a tin woodman?
Yeah. Yep.
You're like, wait, is he made of tin or wood? What's going on here?
Yeah.
They should have just called him a woodman. That's one of my favorite movie quote. Oil can.
Yeah.
Oil can. Great bit.
Was that Roy Bulger?
Bulger was the scarecrow.
Ah, disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
So Tin Woodman seeks a heart and a cowardly lion who desires courage. She invites them to accompany her and ask the wizard for what they lack. Despite the witch's attempts to stop them with sleeping spells and other magic, the sleeping spell in that poppy field we talk about with the asbestos, they reach the city and see the wizard, who appears as a giant ghostly head. He agrees to grant their requests if they bring him the witch's broomstick. We should say, I mean, we're breaking this down. There's a lot of songs. We've already skipped through so many.
It is a musical, yeah. Somewhere Over the Rainbow was in there.
Yeah, that was earlier. That was in the black and white part. The Munchkin Land bit had so many songs.
Yeah. And it's good music.
Like, yeah, it's pretty, pretty catchy stuff. Follow the Yellow Brick Road when they go to follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
And then each of the, once we meet each character, they have songs.
Hmm.
If I only had a brain or heart brain. And I only say that because Dave on this week's Book Cheat did an episode about opera.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it, would you call this like a pop opera?
A popra.
A popra.
I would.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want to know more about operas, really do check out this week's episode of Book Cheat.
All three of us spoke about La Boheme.
Yes.
It's very educational.
Yeah.
I learned a lot because I didn't know much about opera, and I would be willing to bet that you don't either, Matt.
Hey. Well, I do now. I heard all the same stuff as you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you've got a terrible
retention.
You
didn't retain it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. But I'll listen back to the episode. As long as Dave commits to editing out me.
Yeah, I will.
Thank you so much.
The the songs definitely give it some length, some duration.
Yeah.
It's like it's almost 2 hours long, I think.
Mm.
I was surprised that it's like 15 minutes into the film when the tornado hits.
Yeah, you think it's earlier?
I just for some reason I didn't remember anything much before. Before it turns to colour and she's in.
But I think that's important. You need to really get used to the black and white sepia, right?
Yeah.
For the colour to really hit. If it came on too early, it wouldn't be so big.
Yeah. I'm sure that would have been pretty mind-blowing for the time as well.
Even as a kid, I remember being like, and remembering being like, can we get to the colourful bit? This is depressing.
Yeah.
Black and white equals depressing.
Yeah, yeah. It's not great at hooking you in this film right at the start.
Yeah.
You had to get through the 15 minutes of sepia.
As a kid, your window into the film is the kid, the main character, Dorothy, and she's not having a good time.
No.
There's this mean gulch lady who wants to kill her dog.
Yeah. Well, it sets up the drama.
It does. So as they make their way to the castle, the witch sends... hang on. I've skipped. Have I skipped? I can't remember what I've said.
I think the wizard
said... going to the wizard.
Yeah, wizard said, get me the broomstick, I'll get you home.
Great. I've fully blanked on reading that. So as they make their way to the witch's castle, the witch sends her winged monkeys...
Hello.
...to capture Dorothy. With Dorothy captured and brought to her, the witch tries to take off the slippers, but after they harm her, she realizes that the slippers will only be removed after Dorothy's life ends.
Of course.
She's like, well, I can't take them off. The only thing to do is kill her.
Yeah, saw her legs off.
Yeah, it's funny. I'd be like, I imagine killing her wouldn't end it and well for me if this is what happens when I just try to take off her shoes.
Yeah.
But she's like, they're asking me to kill her. These shoes want me to kill Dorothy.
Does she think the shoes are speaking to her? What's that?
What's that, shoes? These shoes have a soul. She turns over an hourglass full of blood red sand and leaves Dorothy to die. And she's sort of in the sand's coming down. It's full on.
What's the, how will she die?
It's just magic.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I mean, I also wasn't fully concentrating on the recent watch. Evan, did you catch that bit?
No, I wasn't paying attention.
But I feel like it was almost like she was in the hourglass. Oh, no.
I vaguely remember that, too.
Yeah.
Is she getting suffocated by sand?
Yeah. It's magic, Dave. Don't ask so many questions, mate.
Great. Love magic.
It's not important. The only important thing is the monkeys.
But then Toto escapes and leads her three friends to the castle. They ambush three guards, don their uniforms. Classic.
Yes.
I think Star Wars stole this bit from them. I think they came up with it. They came up with the ambush and wear the clothes thing. And then they free Dorothy. The witch and more guards pursue. These guards, of course, are the, what are they? They're the old guys.
Yes, they were.
They're
they
the weasels or the, what are they called? The whippies. Wikis? Whibbies.
Yeah, what's the word?
Weebies.
Sounds quite phallic, the word.
Yes. Do you mind looking it up?
Yeah, the wieners.
Wieners? Weenies? Wheezy? Weebies? So anyway, Wikipedia.org just dropped the ball here, calling them guards. So much more than guards. The witch and more guards pursue...
Winkies.
Right.
The witch and more winkies pursue and surround them. The witch sets fire to the scarecrow, causing Dorothy to toss a bucket of water on him. Think about this.
Mm.
The Wicked Witch of the West will die if she gets water on her. She should never be starting any fires near her. People's react at all, even more to the point, leaving a bucket of water nearby.
Yeah, that's risky.
I mean, I know someone was mopping the floors, but do a dry mop. Nice, dry, hot mop. That's what I used to do when I worked at the supermarket. Yep. Hot, dry mop, no need for water. You can still steam off any sort of markings and move on.
That's good. That's a good tip.
Maybe they didn't have that kind of technology back then, but I mean, she was a witch.
She's living dangerously.
Why not use the magic to clean the floors? I mean, I'm assuming that's what the bucket was there for. So Dorothy tosses a bucket of water on Scarecrow to put out the fire, inadvertently splashing the witch, who melts until only her black witch outfit remains, which is waterproof, apparently. She famously says, "What a world, what a world."
Does she say, "I'm melting, I'm melting"?
I'm melting, I'm melting, what a world, what
classic
a world.
Scene. Which it was all an accident.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to get it.
Just one happy accident.
Do you reckon
accident.
That she'll get off on manslaughter? Witch slaughter?
Witch slaughter.
Mm. Which, because she's up on two counts now. Two accidental.
That's right.
I mean, it's starting to seem like a bit of an MO.
Yeah.
Oh, I accidentally killed these witches.
Oh, sorry. Didn't realize.
Yeah.
Just stole their shoes.
Stole their monkeys.
Stole their broom.
The guards rejoice, the Winkies, and give Dorothy her broomstick. Upon their return, the wizard stalls in fulfilling his promises until Toto pulls back a curtain. This is a great bit. Were you watching for this bit?
Yeah.
I find this bit very
the
funny.
The man, pay no attention to the man.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That is so funny. Clap. Honk, honk, honk. Woo! Forget about the dog and that man. He's nothing. Like, it's so funny. That is a great bit. But that exposes the wizard as a con man operating machinery, admitting to being a humbug, which Dave would know that term from The X-Files.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Means like it's a fake. It's a
baloney.
Right. Okay. A fraud.
Yeah.
Which
no,
I guess
humbug.
Is why I never got that, but that's why old mate on the Christmas Carol.
Oh, bah.
I say bah humbug. Humbug.
Yeah.
The ghosts are bah humbug. Is that right?
Ebenezer.
Yeah.
Nonsense.
So he admits to being a humbug, but he insists he's a good man, but a bad wizard.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Big time. Big time. I'm a good Winky, but a bad man.
Yeah, he's, is he a wizard at all?
I would say no. That's how bad he is at being a wizard. He's not a wizard.
He's pretending to be a wizard who runs the land.
Yeah.
This is a classic cult leader who's been found out.
Yeah, that's a feel it, doesn't it? A bit, yeah.
But a good man, apparently, I suppose.
Well, if you take his word for it.
Yeah.
But can you? Yes.
Well, I mean, what happens next?
He gives the Scarecrow a diploma, the Lion a medal, and the Tin Man a ticking heart-shaped clock, helping them see that they already possess the qualities they wanted. He offers to take Dorothy and Toto home in his hot air balloon, revealing that he is also from Kansas and was originally a carnival showman before his balloon escaped Kansas and brought him to the Emerald City. He, of course, is portrayed by the same actor who was Mr. Marvel or whatever the globe.
It's the same actor who plays several roles in the film.
Yeah, that's him. He also plays the horse girl, the colourful horse.
Yeah, right.
He's like the taxi driver, basically, of the Emerald City.
I suppose it's a little girl's dream. She only knows so many people.
Yeah, that's true.
Because recycle through them.
She's used all the faces from around the farm. So the witch is the horrible Miss Gulch. And then sort of farmhands are the Tin Man, Tin Woodman. Scarecrow and the Lion. Yes, as Dorothy and the Wizard prepare to depart, the Wizard places the Scarecrow in charge of Emerald City, with the Tin Man and Lion as his aides. That's a bit that I always forget. Because that's in the books, I was like, I didn't realize that they became in charge of things in the books, but... But you forget in this, none of this is real. This is all a dream. But in the book, it's like they actually are ongoing ruling these lands.
Yeah, right.
With kind hearts. Toto sees a cat and leaps from Dorothy's arms. It's just really unfortunate timing for you to do that, to be honest, Toto.
Come on, you've been so good throughout this whole movie.
Because they're in a hot air balloon, right?
Yeah, we're about to escape back to...
Yeah.
Where does he see the cat?
Yeah, all of a sudden, this is the first cat, apart from the lion, of course.
Is the cat also on another hot air balloon?
Well, they haven't taken off yet, or are they taking off as that?
No, yeah, they haven't taken off yet. So this is the problem. Toto jumps out as they're about to take off.
Otherwise, that would be the end for Toto, splat, I would say.
I always land on their feet, cats. Oh, but it's a dog.
But what about a dog landing on a cat?
Yes. Cat always lands on its feet. Dog always lands on its cat. So they both survive.
Okay, great.
So Toto sees a cat, leaps in from Dorothy's arms, and then Dorothy pursues Toto, but the balloon, it's too late. The balloon's already off with the wizard. And Glinda, the good witch of the north, then appears and tells Dorothy that she has always had the power to return home using the ruby slippers.
The whole thing was a waste of time.
Yeah, I know. It's annoying. There's so much of this stuff where it's like, oh, you had that all along.
Is that meant to be a twist, do you reckon? What a waste of time.
I don't know. It's like a Deus Ex Machina, right? Like, it's just this thing at the end where you're like, oh, well, how are we going to get out of this? Just use your shoes.
Yeah.
Which they could have done all along had they known. Just magic. Just magic your way home.
Yeah, just do it. I would have used magic from the first place. I mean, the good witch, surely the good witch could just go tickle tonkle with a wand.
Can't she do it?
I mean, I'm just riffing the spell. Maybe there were different words
not
to it.
Tickle tonkle.
It might not have been tinkle tonkle.
Might be that.
I'm not ruling it out.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
After Dorothy bids the Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Lion farewell, Glinda instructs her to tap her heels together 3 times and say, "There's no place like home." I forget, the book said something else like,
"Oh God,
let's skedaddle."
Yeah, it was really bad.
Really?
Yeah. That was a good rewrite.
When Dorothy does, she awakens in her bedroom, surrounded by her family and friends. And you were there.
Yeah, it's that class.
And you were there.
That's a reference to. It's great.
So many things from this movie are referenced so often. Simpsons. Dave found a whole website dedicated to him.
Oh, it's like a few dozen.
Yeah.
Wizard of Oz references over the years.
Someone, after the Do Go On episode came out, tweeted us showing, you know, the Winkies, how they say, They're like, I can only ever hear Oreo because of Wreck-It Ralph. And they sent the link to the clip where it's Oreos going, Oreo, Rio. It's spoofed all the time. Well, that's probably not a spoof, really. That's more of a... It's more of an homage.
Right. Rather than a spoof.
Right, not a spoof. Certainly not a spoof. She's awakened to see her family and friends. Everyone dismisses her adventure as a dream, but Dorothy insists it was real. She says she will never run away again and declares, "There's no place like home."
Right.
End film.
Do we find out what happened to the dog? Was it executed? By Gulch.
We never really...
Is Toto at the bed at the end or anything like that?
Yeah, Toto's still around.
It does seem like, compared to home, the sepia world, that the Land of Oz was better. I mean, there was danger, but she had friends.
Yeah.
There was colour.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. There was still no one her age, but there were people like who wanted to hang out with her. Whereas, I mean, they seem pretty nice, some of those farmhand guys or whatever. Yeah. The Scarecrow guy, Ray Bolger.
There was a good witch, not just bad witch. Yeah, where bad witches are gone now, right?
Now, was the good witch in the sepia scenes?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Was she the mailman or something? I can't remember. Do you want to look that up? In the IMDb or whatever.
Is it on him?
No, she's not Aunt. I don't think she's Aunt Em. I don't know if Aunt Em is anyone else. Might be wrong there. Or am I? While you look that up, let me tell you about the monkeys. You got anything there, Ev?
She's played by Billy Burke.
Billy Burke's a great name. That's great. A thing I've been doing lately, getting to sleep, if I get through all the American states alphabetically, I'll go through the alphabet and try to think of a person or character who has double initials. So I'll go AA, Alan Elder, BB, Bill Bryson, CC, Carl Collins, the guy I went to high school with, DD, Donald Duck. It gets hard at G. I couldn't think of a G last night. Can you help me out there? I is also very, very difficult.
I was not listening. Glinda does not have a sepia-tone Kansas counterpart. However, when performed on stage, the actress playing Aunt Em will sometimes play Glinda.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That does make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a good two good characters played by the same. Makes sense.
What was their name again?
Glinda?
Yeah, but the actor?
But
it was a double B, wasn't it?
It was a double B, and it was. How has that gone out of my head?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't it? Billy Burke.
Billy Burke. It's pretty good.
BB.
Okay, so this is from oz.fandom.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's an Oz fandom site.
Yes.
About the Wizard of Oz, yep. And this is about the story of the winged monkeys of Oz. So this is from the original book. This is a quick paragraph about it. Why do you have to obey the charm of the golden cap? Dorothy asked. That is a very long story, answered the leader of the winged monkeys with a laugh. But as we have a long flight before us, I will pass the time by telling you about it if you wish. I would very much like to hear it, Dorothy replied. So the story goes, thousands of years ago, the winged monkeys were all once a free band of animals who were living in the jungles and forests of the enchanted land of Oz, doing as they pleased. They were truly a loyal yet carefree bunch who mostly kept to themselves and stuck with their own kind. They had a king who was the ruler of the clan, and he was their leader, who was the largest and most strongest monkey of them all.
Okay.
So is that a tortoise? No, what is that? Anyway, the strongest monkey of them all.
Mm.
But the monkeys were also rather mischievous by nature, always looking to get into some innocent fun. However, I don't think this is from the book anymore. This is just from that Oz fandom page.
Right.
I don't think most strongest got through the editor for L. Frank Baum. However, one fateful day in Oz, the king of the winged monkeys decided as a prank to toss a very richly dressed man into a raging river. That's a funny prank. Soaking him from head to toe and completely ruining his handsome costume of soft golden silk and velvet. Hmm. The man, whose name was Quelala, was good-natured enough and did not mind the prank and thought it to be rather funny.
Okay. What a good sport.
You got me. You got me there, winged monkey, throwing me into a raging river. But his fiancée, named Gaylette, was distraught and ever so furious. Gaylette was a beautiful princess and the ruler of the northern Gilliken country and lived in a small jeweled palace. Gaylette was angry at the winged monkeys because the day they chose to play the prank on Quelala was the same day of his and Gaylette's royal wedding. That is unlucky.
Ooh, it was his wedding?
Yeah, maybe it was. Yeah, it was his wedding day. That's why I was dressed up so fancy. Yeah, maybe this was just like a Bucks Day prank.
Yeah. Oh.
And they've taken the hit. And the guy's like, no, it's fun. I don't mind. Because he's like, we were on a bender. let's just say that you pranked me. I had nothing to do with it. And what the winged monkeys did not know was that Gaylette also happened to be a great sorceress who practiced magic. And she was so upset for all the unwanted monkey business, she punished the king monkey and his entire group of winged creatures forever, cursing them all by making them the eternal slaves to whoever wore the golden cap upon their head. And whoever wore it could command them to do any deed they wished three times. Only three times. That's different in the movie.
Is it like the same command three times and you can swap it up to a new command?
Or is it just like three wishes?
Three each.
I think it's more of like, I read it as a three wish type rule. And then the film, it seems more like a as much as you like kind of thing.
Yeah, right. It seems disproportionate to the prank.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
This is like an overreaction.
Come on, Gaylet.
But they ruined her wedding day. I suppose it's, you know, it's supposed to be the best day of your life, and
yeah,
and they threw the groom.
Yeah, the groom was a bit wet.
Yeah.
So fair enough. He didn't mind. Let's not factor that in, though. Now, Gaylet originally had the cap prepared as a valuable and authentic wedding present for her beloved betrothed. And the cap itself was a beautiful one indeed, being made out of real solid gold and adorned with real diamonds and rubies that ran all around the 24-carat gold brim.
Wow.
It is rumoured that the cap alone cost Princess Gaylet half of her kingdom and sorcery to construct. I love that this is rumoured. Who's spreading this rumour?
It's a lot of detail. Is the cap in the film?
No, briefly, but I'll mention that soon. Okay.
It's also very expensive. Half of everything you've owned for a cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a good
investment. For three wishes.
Yeah, come on.
When you're already a witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's more of a punishment. That shows how enraged she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like revenge. I know it's a dish best served cold, but it is also something about it eating you or something. It's bad for you or something as well. Is there some saying about revenge? I know Sideshow Bob says revenge a lot, which I like.
That's because you're a Frasier fan.
I'm a Frasier fan. What a great crossover that is. I can't believe Dave hates Frasier, knowing that you one of the great Simpsons characters.
We watched an episode a couple of years ago for Primates. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a big fan, I'm afraid.
And there's
He hates it because it's making fun of Dave's world.
That episode had a character named BB, which might be short for Billy Burke. That's true, as an homage. Probably unlikely, though.
I thought of a GG, Gus Grissom.
Oh, who's that?
An astronaut.
Great. Ooh. Thank you very much. I'll be thinking of you, Gus, tonight.
I can't think of II, though. That's hard.
Yeah, II is really hard.
Hmm.
I've got a Y and a Z. I think Zinedine Zidane.
Oh, yeah? French soccer player.
I went to school with a Yinja Yap. Wow. X is also hard.
Yeah.
And Q is also hard.
Oh, gosh. Q.
But G, that's a good G. Although, ideally, I would have heard of him before, but I guess I've now heard of this guy.
Gus
I've lost
Grissom.
Him already. Gus Grissom. Like the author Grisham?
Grisham.
Double S-O-M. No.
Grissom.
So Grissom. Gus Grissom.
Grissom.
Mm. He died in Apollo 1.
Oh.
When
finally given the cap to wear after the wedding, Qualala then used its powerful charm only once. And once only, commanding the winged monkeys.
Only once and once only.
What's the point of the limit then?
Yeah, well, I guess L. Frank Baum was like, he just wanted it to have a backstory. And then, right.
It's just that sort of a limit, you know, you would use, like in Aladdin, you would use that to create some sort of a drama, a problem. It's a conflict.
I guess the.
Do I use my last.
But
wish?
This isn't the Wicked Witch.
Right.
This is the pre-story. So the Wicked Witch will have that in the book, probably.
Oh, okay. Later on. Okay. It's coming.
So she used her only wish to command the winged monkeys to stay far away from Gaylet in fear that his new. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forget. Qualala's the guy. Qualala, the new groom, uses only one wish. That's why he doesn't hate the monkeys. He's got no problem with it. He makes the wish for them to stay far away from her. Because he fears that she might punish the winged monkeys even more severely due to her short temper.
Yeah, right. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yes. So as the years went by, they did, and they were told to never come too close to Gaylet's Gillikin kingdom or her subjects ever again. After this, the band disappeared for a long time. But the magic chant of the golden cap was set and had been engraved on the inside of the cap. The incantation of the charm that called the winged monkeys was... First, stand upon the left foot and say, Epi, Peppy, Kaki. Then stand upon the right foot and say, Hello, Holo, Hello. Finally, stand on both feet and shout, Zizzy, Zuzzy, Zick. Oh, that would be good for a double Z. Whenever those words were properly spoken out loud, the winged monkeys stopped what they were doing, abandoned their work or play. Or whatever in between. Sometimes you work for play and sometimes you play for work. And they immediately came to assist their temporary master. But then, so that's the book. But in the film, It's a little different. The monkeys in the classic Judy Garland film are purple monkeys with purple wings that wear elaborate caps and matching vests.
Very cute vests and hats. Very cute.
Very cute. Adorable vests. But these aren't real monkeys. No, even though this is pre-9/11, this was still... They did not use any real monkeys in
this. What are they, puppets then? Or?
No, they're...
I think they might be actors in costumes.
Yeah. Like the trees.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't think they were real trees, did you, Dave?
Sure.
Toto, also a man in a suit.
A lot of costumes in this film.
They use... Toto is actually a man in a suit. They just use perspective tricks to make it look like a small dog.
Did you talk about in the Dugo one about Toto getting paid more than the munchkins?
Yeah, some brutal stuff there. Toto also got...
It's just a bit weird.
...stood on by one of the Winkies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Bit of revenge for being paid more than me.
Yeah, I don't know how the Winkies got paid, how they made it.
Was it an accident?
Yes, it was an accident. Well, we believe it was an accident.
That's what they claim.
Until Dave said that then, we all assumed it was an accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave's throwing a spanner in the works there. But so in the film, they are simply the creatures of the Wicked Witch of the West. They don't really go into any sort of backstory or anything.
Yeah.
The monkey
the
leader.
It's long enough as it is.
Yeah. Monkey leader is named Nico. They do not speak or act independently of the witch's will. The golden cap can be seen making a cameo appearance in the witch's castle chamber, but she does not wear it or say its charm, which is a shame. You would have loved all of a sudden the film to stop and she's going,
hello.
Zizzy-zazzy-zoo.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. The witch sends the monkeys out to apprehend Dorothy Gale and her companions, but they only get Dorothy and Toto and scatter the scarecrow's straw. They disappear from the story after the witch has been melted, most likely... just like the Winky guards, they were all finally set free from her bondage after she died.
Oh, gosh, what was she doing to them?
Yeah, ball gags and all sorts of stuff.
But or is it possible that someone else found the golden sleeve, put it on, and then they're like, oh, no.
Not again. Hopefully one of them put it on.
Yeah.
And they're like, Daryl, yeah. No.
3 wishes. And now I am powerful.
Their presence in the film has given the flying monkeys their iconographic identity in modern-day popular American culture. So that's how people say it. Fly, my pretties, fly. Even though we learnt in Do Go On that that's not what she actually says.
Oh, right. That's a...
She just says...
Monty Burns taking some artistic license.
Yeah, definitely. It's just fly, fly, fly. So that's the end of the episode, or end of our chat about The Wizard of Oz. What do you have any thoughts, Evan? Watching it recently, you didn't love it? What would your banana score be?
I'm sure they put a lot of work into this film. but I'm afraid it doesn't make a lot of sense.
If you listen to our episode, they suffered for this art.
Yeah, the actors suffered a lot.
I mean, it's a classic, and it's, you know...
I mean, for something that's that old, what else from that long ago would you still watch and go, that's pretty good? Well, there's actually quite a few. We talked about it. There's so many great films.
Yeah, Mr. Chips Goes to Washington.
I have not seen a lot of
Gone films with the Wind.
Time. 1939. It's 81. It's a great year. It's impressive.
Great, a lot of big things happen there. And one big bad thing too. But a lot of it was great for film.
What big
World War II started
in 39, right? It's impressive as a like to watch it and go. Like it, you know, and watching it in 4K, it's like, I wouldn't say it holds up, but aspects of it do.
You're happy with the aspect ratio?
Not really. It's 4:3 or something. It's not.
How would the process of making it such an old film 4K work? Is that easy if they've got the original film or whatever?
Yeah, it would just be doing a high resolution scan of the whatever the you know best copy of the film they have is. It holds up well in that, you know, the quality of the cinematography, it's all, you know, it sort of looks sharp, it's nicely lit. But also just like production design stuff. Like the Yellow Brick Road is just genius production design. Like it looks incredible. It's this iconic thing. And it's interesting to think back and just be like, man, they were thinking about that stuff 80 years ago. and we, you know... aren't, like, I don't know.
Things haven't changed that much.
Yeah, things haven't changed that much. I mean, the technology's gotten better, obviously, and it's probably a lot less work to produce something like that now.
They don't need to have such hot lights. Apparently, to shoot in Technicolor, they needed to have, like, super hot lights.
Yeah, it needed a lot of light, I guess. Yes, there are lots of makeup technology has come a long way since then, and safety standards have come a long way since then.
People don't get set on fire as much.
Yeah, not quite as much. Fewer
they
people
don't make
have
child actors smoke.
fewer lingering health impacts from films these days.
Yeah,
I think I liked it as a kid. I don't know what I saw in it, but it was colourful and things moved. It was pretty vibrant and pretty out there, really.
So what are you giving as a banana sort of score?
Oh, a banana score. Good Lord.
I can't remember what I think we got to pick how big the bunch was and then how many bananas we gave
how
in that
ripe
bunch.
They are?
Yeah, and then how ripe they are. Very convoluted stuff.
Very scalable.
Yeah. I think I normally went off a bunch of 7. I'm going to say I enjoyed it. I mean, it's hard knowing the backstory being so grim. But if I can put that out of my mind, I'd still give it like 5 slightly over-ripened bananas.
Out of 7? 5 out of 7.
Oh, is that too much? Good question. 4. I'll give it 4.
Sorry, I didn't mean
slightly
to.
Slightly under-ripened bananas.
Maybe it's a 3 out of 7 bananas for me.
It's a fail.
Yeah, I think I disliked it more than I liked.
How do you say?
How do you say?
Je ne sais quoi.
How do you say?
Well, I just said it, Evan.
Oh, sorry.
He doesn't even listen to me. What about you, Dave? I mean, you haven't watched it too recently.
I haven't watched it in probably 15, 20 years. Yeah.
What's your memory of it? Do you have fond memories of this film?
It's just memories of something existing, I think.
Right.
Not loving it, not hating it. I do remember thinking, the black and white bit was a bit scary. Now I've grown up, I've realised musicals aren't really my thing.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you got to respect the history a bit, I guess.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow, it does hold up as a great ballad.
Yeah, that's a lovely song. It's a lovely song. Probably 3 out of 7.
3 out of 7. Same as Evan.
The bananas are... I like my bananas quite ripe. And these are not that right.
Okay.
Fantastic. If you were to be one of the characters in the film,
Tin Woodman.
You'd be the Tin Woodman.
No, I just wanted to say Tin Woodman again.
Yeah, I like saying Tin Woodman. I think it can do. I know we say Tin the Woodman Taylor. Yeah. Oh? That's good fun.
But he's never heart, though.
Well, no, he had it all along.
I think if I had
to
be played...
You didn't watch to the
end. I think I'm actually going to say the Scarecrow, because if I had to be played in a biopic by any character, it would be Ray Bolger.
Ray Bolger, yes.
Yes, but the Scarecrow...
You're very floppy like him as well.
Yeah. But he got mauled quite badly in the film.
But easily put back together, much like Dave.
Exactly.
Stuff it back
very
in.
Very resilient.
I bounce back.
Yeah.
Grab your stomach, stuff it back.
Exactly. What I do with my intestines when they were ripped out is put them back in.
The lion... I'm not sure I liked any of the characters.
Put them up.
It's funny.
Yeah, I guess so. There's this song... Is it sort of near the end? No, it was when they first arrive at the castle to see the wizard. Is it? Anyway, not great. I was just watching it going, this is not good.
I feel like at the start of the episode, you were like, it's all right. Now you're like, oh, God.
It's bad.
I mean, there's bits of it, there's nostalgia in there. It's bits of it that are good.
Yeah, definitely. It's big nostalgia for me, I think.
Maybe the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah. That's a great, a villain theme. That's got to be one of the great all-time ones.
Really
banana,
good.
Banana, 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 banana.
Yeah. And she had all these flying monkeys at her command.
Yeah.
All she had to do was avoid water. I feel like I could do that.
Yeah, I was going to pick her too, I reckon, because green's also my favourite colour.
Mm.
We didn't talk about it in the Do Go On episode, but like she had a whole... I haven't seen it, but there's a whole musical about her like origin story called Wicked, which is quite popular, I think. Yeah. I think that's about her.
Yeah.
There's also the movie The Wiz. Is that...
Yeah, that's Michael Jackson one. Yeah, there's a lot of different film adaptations and musicals and all sorts of things. I used to watch, as a kid, I watched an anime, I think it was anime, or cartoon version of it as well, which I really enjoyed.
Well, there's a lot more source material than I thought there was as well.
Yeah, there's
it's not all just extrapolations from the film. It's from the original books.
Yeah, and the books, you know, they're not long, but they're, you know, they're little novels. They're not like picture books.
There's a lot of
like
backstory.
I might have pictured that they were. You kind of assume it's a little just.
Are they kids' books, kids' novels?
They are, but I think they're sort of like young teens or teenage sort of books. I don't think they're like toddlers or something. And then the Tin Woodman chopped all his limbs off.
Yay!
Yeah, great. Love that. So a couple of witches and a Tin Woodman. No, a scarecrow.
Ray Bolger.
What else is Ray Bolger in?
You know him from the Simpsons reference, probably, when Homer's hanging out with Kim Basinger and Ron Howard.
Oh, yeah.
And then afterwards he does like a museum selling them out, and he's like, celebrities, what have they ever done for us? Where's Ray Bolger? I'll tell you, Ray Bolger's looking out for Ray Bolger. Very funny.
That's so good.
He died in 1987.
Oh, wow.
He died before I was born.
Yeah.
No, wow. We crossed over.
Oh, yeah, you and Ray.
We crossed streams, me and Ray. The Bulge, as I called him, back in our heyday.
His wife died in 19... Oh, no, sorry. That's not right. He got married in 1929.
God, it's still a long time ago, isn't it?
It is a long time ago.
Hey, when was he born?
He was born in 1904.
Wow.
January 10 in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. God's country. So normally at this point of the show, we thank a few patrons, which we haven't done in a long time, and that thread on the Patreon site has long been... I haven't looked at it in a long time, but it turns out a couple of people have still written down what their favourite primates are or something like that. I haven't read any of these, but a few people have commented on it, so I'll read these out. If you want to support this show, as well as Dave's show, Book Cheat, Do Go On, which Dave and I do, and Listen Now, the whole little network here, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod or dogoonpod.com. If you want to come see my stand-up shows, it's Matt Stewart Comedy. I'm doing one in Melbourne. Please come to the taping. It's on the 29th of July. And use the discount code DoGoOnPod. There's also an Adelaide show on the 15th and a Perth show, date TBC. Evan, your show, Gamey Game, has a Patreon as well. People can see it at gameygame.com.
Yes, they can. Or just go to YouTube and search for Gamey Game. You'll find it. It'll be there. There aren't that many things called that, luckily.
All right, so we're going to read out some of our Patreon supporters. I think the question would have been, what's your favourite primate? Or just say something about primates, whatever. This one comes from a podcast. We've got a podcast supporter called In Summary Podcast who wrote, primates. I didn't need to read that bit. They were just saying that's what this was in reference to. Silverback gorilla, because holy fuck, they have small balls compared to chimpanzees. Chimps have to copulate a lot, whereas gorillas are more laid back with sex.
Oh, the opposite of a bonobo.
So that's why In Summary Podcast likes the silverback gorilla, because of the small balls.
Respect.
Okay. All right.
Respect.
Respect that opinion.
Respect that opinion. Carly Wagena says, not my favorite primate, but since quarantine began, I've dug up all my old video games and found the classic Banjo-Kazooie.
Ah.
Evan, you might know a bit about this.
I do.
Which has a giant ape boss named Conga, who is a real piece of work. Although he does come back in the second game wearing a real sweet red top hat, which is cool.
Nice.
Conga the ape.
Cheers, Carly. Liam Tasker writes, were you a Banjo-Kazooie fan?
I played Banjo-Kazooie.
I played it too on
Nintendo
64.
Yeah. I don't think I played the sequels, just the first. I did play Banjo-Tooie.
Is that what they call it? That's nice.
Yeah.
Good title.
Yeah. But then where do you go from there?
Banjo 3. 3E.
You can't go 3E. That's ridiculous.
Liam Tasker writes, primate from the Pokemon series. Now, Evan, you a Pokemon guy?
I'm familiar with Primeape, one of the original 50 Pokemon.
Which one is it, sorry?
Primeape.
Oh, Primeape. Evolved from Mankey.
Okay, so Dave, Pokemon.
Yeah,
guy.
Oh, yeah, big fan, sorry. Okay. Zoned out for 1 second, I came back and you're talking about my thing. The first 151, I'm in.
The way. 151, Evan. Dave, just answer your question.
Oh, 151, okay.
Yeah, Mew.
Because there were two Mews.
A bipedal simian Pokemon with a round body covered in whitish, shaggy fur.
And it was that sort of maybe boxing gloves type thing?
Yeah, oh, kind that sort of a vibe, but not like gloves, but like
but fists. Like big fists.
Like club hands or something.
Yeah, it could punch the shit out of you.
Yeah, I would not want to go up against that.
Liam says, Ash, does this mean anything to you, Dave? Mm-hmm. Ash left his prime ape to train in a gym in 1997 and has yet to return for him.
Oh, wow. That primate would be on like level 80 or something now.
Oh, because it's at the gym. Would that be a real training thing?
Yeah, like on the show.
Yeah, so it would have happened in the
on the
anime.
TV show.
I just don't know if Liam's making a joke or if that's the thing that actually happened.
They left him there. Yeah, that would have happened on the show.
Yeah,
that
right.
That makes sense to me. I don't remember that happening, but that checks out, I think.
I want to see this primate.
Oh, check it out.
Ray bulging. Pecs absolutely rippling. Thank you so much, Liam.
A great choice, I think.
Jack Corbin. Oh, this is a good one. My favorite primate is the AA or the II. They fill the same niche as woodpeckers by sticking their creepily long middle fingers into bark in search of bugs. There is a really great book by Douglas Adams called Last Chance to See, where he travels to Madagascar in search of them. Have you seen them? They are full-on looking.
I can imagine them with the really long fingers, so yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, they do look kind of creepy. It's the eyes more than anything.
Yeah, because they kind of look almost more marsupial.
Whoa, they're cool. Yeah.
But yeah, they just kind of, they look like puppets.
They're almost cute. Like some of them, they're almost
yes,
cute.
They're right. They're just on the wrong side of cute.
I like them.
But yeah, no, they which makes them kind of cool. They're kind of badass. They're not cutie pie primates. They're kind of like...
In the badass category.
Fuck pie primates.
Ugh.
Oh, that didn't come out like I thought it would. Fuck pie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Freaky
what you're,
pie.
What you're
getting at, you know, I'm just sort of like slightly strange looking.
Yep. Okay.
Final one is from Miguel Acosta, who writes, my favorite primate is Chimchar from fourth generation of Pokemon. I played all three games for this generation, Diamond, Pearl, and Platinum. I played with all three starters and loved them all equally, but the show isn't Penguin Mates or Tortoise Mates. Chimchar, I chose you. That or Momo, the flying lemur, from Avatar, The Last Airbender. It's hard when they're all such good monkeys. Thank you so much, Miguel.
Chimchar's pretty cute.
Oh, yeah, that's a cute monkey.
Tails on fire. It's fun.
It looks like one of the related searches is primate. Is that right? Are they related at all?
Good question. I don't know. No, I think that might be...
Because sometimes they like introduce new ones that it turns out were actually like the... devolved form.
I'm not sure.
Like something evolved into Mankey, which evolved into primate, maybe.
I don't think they're related. But its fur is primarily a shade of orange, so that's a little fact for you there.
Nice.
resembling a chimpanzee.
The last thing I want to do is, I used to say if anyone gives us a 5-star review, I'll read it out on the podcast, and I just had a look, and there's a few from the last little while. So I'll read these out. I don't think I've read them before because I don't think we've done episodes since they wrote these. This one comes from Amjas, AMMJS, writes, prime podcast content, 5 stars. Do you enjoy telling your friends that you've been listening to a podcast about apes in popular culture? Yes? Then this is the podcast for you. Imagine how cultured and wise I will think you are. They definitely will not look at you with pity in their eyes. I love this show. I have bored so many people with facts I've learnt here and so many amazing guests. I would name the best, but in case this gets read out, my favourite guest is whoever is on this week.
Hell yeah. Thank
well
you.
Done.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think they meant that too. This one comes from Kimmy B47. Easy listen. 5 stars. Feels like a conversation with your mates, and it is such a funny, lighthearted way to escape from the world and its problems. No. If you're unsure, just have a listen, and I'm sure you will be hooked. This one's from Sacklin. It says, non-human propaganda. This podcast claims to be about primates, but regularly derides the greatest of all primates, humans. Fortunately, Evan tries to bring reason and truth to this fakest of news.
Thank you, Zachlin.
A little bit of support for Ev there. maybe I'll read this one more. This one goes to October 2020. I don't know. Have we done one since then where we read out reviews?
We didn't read live. The live one we didn't.
So this one is from Haunted Sponge. They write, possibly the best primate podcast in the world. 5 stars.
Whoa.
That's very nice.
From the jazzy music at the beginning to the equally jazzy music at the end. It's the same song. That's funny. This podcast is a roller coaster of emotions. From the terrifying lows to the dizzying highs and the creamy middles. You like that, Dave?
Very, very good.
Matt Stewart, amateur primatologist, brings you a fun, witty look at primates in popular culture. With his trusty second banana, Evan Munro Smith, and a huge array of guests, they will make you laugh, cry, and sometimes fall in love. Simply put your paws on this, you dirty ape. Keep up the good work, and remember, apes together strong. Well, that's fantastic, Haunted Sponge. I'm so glad I clicked on that.
It's a great
review. A gamble clicking on the review section. How are you going to come out feeling? But those ones made me feel pretty good. Thank you so much for writing those. That's really nice. And I'm glad. It's a show that I hopefully will come back to sporadically. I do love getting into the Monkey House. And, appreciate everyone for tuning in once again. Hmm. What a fun time it was. Dave, I don't know if you remember this, but we normally get the guests to riff a sign-off, pretending that we say that every week.
Oh, okay.
So I'll give you a second to mull on that. Evan, thanks so much for joining us. Once again, people can find you at Gamey Game, and I recommend they do that.
Thank you.
They like sort of a toxic kind of gaming thing where the panelists make the guests feel pretty awful.
Yep.
And Evan.
It's a comedy show.
I don't know why you've set up a show where you've got two regular guests who just shit on you every week. And that's how you want it.
It's just what happened organically, I think. It's just the dynamic that evolved.
Ben, people worry about you, but it's on purpose. It's not like you don't want it to be like that.
Oh, it's all a bit of fun. It's all a bit of fun.
Just a bit of fun.
Just a bit of fun. Dave, people can find you on Book Cheat this week. Great episode about opera.
Thank you. La Boheme, the Puccini Opera with Matt Stewart and Evan Munro-Smith.
And of course, isn't it a do-go-on about The Wizard of Oz? If you get a chance, an epic story. It's a big episode. I think it's one of the longest we've
ever done. Top three longest ever.
Yeah. I think all three of those are mine.
I think they are.
I really ramble on. But thanks so much for joining us in the Monkey House, Evan and Dave. And as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
fly, my monkeys, fly!
Good.
Also, there's no place like comb. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
There's no place like comb. No place like comb.
Listen to Book Cheat to get that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.